Welcome back to the Game Day Club.
I seen you this time, nigga.
I sure was gonna let your ass walk into that.
That would have been me walking into your situation, not me, not the other way around this time.
Okay.
Well, so anyway, exactly.
Welcome back. It's Matt
and it's Q.
Mine is Sam. Sam had to take care of a family issue today, man. Hope everything is well with that. Yep,
praying for you. Praying for you.
All right, Q. School year is back in effect, man. Two weeks. I mean, back. Let's start this off different. Hold on. Today is Sunday. How was your Friday and Saturday?
Man, you know what? My Friday and Saturday was actually pretty good. Friday, I ain't had no practice. That's what made that really good.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday, I went to go see Neo. So, explain. It was a great show. Puts on a great show. Great show.
All right. Well,
And we had workouts, but great show.
Oh, okay. You went to go, where was Neo at?
Freedom Hill.
Oh, Freedom Hill.
Neo was at Freedom Hill. We had workouts at Detroit Public Safety Academy for the varsity. And,
so, let me ask you a question. Good. Detroit Public Safety, that's an actual school, right?
Yes.
They have the whole curriculum and all that
stuff,
right? Yeah,
but we actually, so at Detroit Public Safety, you can actually, it's a college prep. So, like, you can start earning college credits in the ninth grade.
Really?
Yeah. Then we are, I want to say, kind of sponsored by the public safety of Detroit.
Oh.
So, like, during the summer, they have programs where you get police officer training and firefighter training and stuff like that. And the stuff you do at the school can actually lead to a career in the public safety field. So, when you leave, you will be, like, I don't want to say all the way trained, but, like, starting training on becoming a firefighter, EMS technician, or a police officer. If that's something you choose to do.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
Okay, that's dope. So, let me ask you, what am I technically? I don't even forgot what the hell I was really about to ask you. Oh, yeah, there it is. So, you just a JV coach, or you JV and varsity?
So, I'm the head JV coach, and then I am the lead assistant on varsity.
Lead assistant on varsity, okay. Okay. Well, man, my weekend has been pretty much what it is, bro. Football is back, so, you know, I've been locked in on that since Thursday night.
Yeah, you've been locked in on that.
Lions won.
You know what's so funny?
Beat KC at home. I mean, not at home, but beat KC in their home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because I was talking with one of my coworkers at work, and we was talking shit, and he was like, you know, I don't really do the gambling shit.
Yeah.
But he was trying so hard to bet like 50 on the game. And I felt like every time I bet on the game, I lose. So okay. I was like, nah, I ain't going to do that to them. They're going to win this game anyway, but I was like, I ain't going to do it to them. But first thing I did when I seen him, I was like, so how about them Lions, man?
did he bet the 50?
Nah, he wanted to. He just had that. But he a Cowboys fan, so they, you know, they arrogant anyway.
Oh, that don't mean shit.
No, yeah, he think everybody suck compared to the Cowboys. Motherfuckers ain't won shit since OJ was on trial.
the Lions, bro, let me just say this, man. I was excited. I sat up and watched the whole game, bro. I knew they had a chance, but I didn't think they were going to win. But I didn't feel like them losing that game, if they would have lost that game, that would have meant nothing to me.
So let me ask.
Because it's so early in the year.
It's so early in the year.
And then it's a Super Bowl chance.
Yeah, and it's a Super Bowl chance.
Yeah, so I was like, just be competitive. That's all I wanted you to be.
Which with the Lions, being competitive is good enough for us.
That's something you ask for Christmas.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But let me ask you this, because it was, how many drop passes did he have?
Tony?
Yeah, he had like four or five, maybe six.
Yeah, and one of them led to an interception.
Right. So, if he don't drop them passes, do the Lions lose? Okay. And then
I'll say yes, they lose. But I'm going to tell you a play to me that had totally changed the trajectory of that game. And it's a play that some people are talking about, but a lot are not.
Okay.
So, it's the rookie Jack Campbell, linebacker, right? He got a pass deflection in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That play was so huge because I think Pat Mahomes had hit Tony on like on a crossing route, or he just on a drag. I think he hit him on a drag. And then the play before. And then I was like, damn, they about to move up. They about to move this bitch up the field. And then when he did throw
it. Because if anybody can do it,
it's Pat Mahomes. And then when Jack Campbell made that the next play, that it changed the tone for a whole lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Even though it didn't look like it, nobody got excited or nothing like that. It just looked like, oh shit.
But I think also with a play like that, because I know what play you're talking about. If he makes that play last year, I think the Lions still wind up losing because I think they overly excited. I think now, because like you said, they didn't get excited because at this point to them,
they it's know, expected. We got to complete the game.
Yeah, and yeah. It's expected. It's like, it's not, you know how you make certain plays and it's like, oh, some shit, I didn't know I could do that. Or, right. Oh, shit, damn, that was spectacular. It's like, no, I'm supposed to do that. No, this is normal right. for me.
Yeah.
And I get excited on stuff like this because that's what I'm here to do.
So even as a Lions fan, even my attitude has changed because Corey Joseph, even as the game was winding down, second year safety Corey Joseph, mm-hmm. he was out there dancing. Mm-hmm. It was like a minute or maybe like 46 seconds left, something like that. But he was out there dancing. And I was like, come on, nigga, we don't even need that, bro. Right. Just get the fuck onto the sideline. And then I did like when the clock struck zero. Nobody was jumping for joy. Everybody, you know, they had a smile on their face, but then it wasn't like crazy. They saved it for the locker room.
Exactly.
And I did like that because I didn't want, you know.
Yeah, Dan Campbell.
He has a nice little grip on his team, man.
Man, that's respect. And that is, he's putting expectations in him, mm-hmm. right? But at the in the turn, he's allowing them to put expectations on him.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how you get the dynamic of a team like that. Because when I coach, I tell my players, this is what I expect from you. Now, what do you expect from me? Okay, this is what you expect from me. So now, we both have to live up to each other's expectations. That's how you create respect. Because I'm going to work just as hard as you mm-hmm. put you in the positions to be successful. So now I need you to work hard to get good enough to excel at the positions that I'm going to mm-hmm. put you on to be successful. And that's exactly what is happening between Dan Campbell and the Lions.
And that's that. You killed that shit. Let's turn this shit up a little bit, dude. Let's talk about another coach, a black coach.
Black coach. Okay, let's do it.
Let's talk about Coach Prime.
Must be the money.
Yeah.
Must be the money.
You didn't build me, so you can't kill me. Knick knack paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Nah, let me just say this, man. So we grew up in the Deion Sanders era.
Yep.
So we know what Deion was like as a player. We knew he was successful. We knew that he was a two-sport athlete that, you know, succeeded on both ends.
In both ends. But his nickname, literally.
Oh, he has.
Primetime.
Primetime. He has one of the greatest sports nicknames of all time.
He's Primetime.
Yeah. Like, it gets no bigger than that.
Right.
I don't know. It could be. Who do you think? What's another sports nickname real quick that you think could defeat Primetime?
I can't think of one. Like, I literally can't think of one.
Only one I can is Air Jordan. That's the only one.
I think that was branded better. It's not necessarily.
Oh, I don't think Primetime was actually branded by anybody other than Deion.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's why I said it's not. The only nickname, the nickname that I like the most.
Yeah.
Which is weird because me and him had a tiff, even though he don't understand that because we ain't really, you know. But it's the Hibachi. I love that nickname. I thought
it's about Gilbert Arenas.
Yes, I love the Hibachi nickname.
Yeah, I like
because I like exactly what it meant. I'm cooking y'all.
Okay,
but I think Primetime is still the greatest nickname of all time.
So there's some.
If, well, you know what? I take that back. I'm sorry. if there's a bigger nickname than Primetime, it would be the logo, because you are actually only, but the only reason is because you are actually the logo for a whole, like the whole sport.
I get it.
You get what I'm saying?
So, all right. So to get back on subject. So Prime, man, I know we're a little late, but he 2-0.
2-0.
Now let's talk about the TCU game. I didn't have them winning that game. That was the first game of the year. TCU was ranked, what, 22?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think they would win the game, and I felt like if it was going to be a shootout, they really wasn't going to win the game, but it was a shootout, and they won that bitch. And I just feel like the way that – I feel like the way that Deion has put his finger on that program right now, he is definitely, definitely top dog in the NCAA right now.
So here's my question to you.
It's Colorado, though, but I get it.
But here's my question. So now we see what he did with Jackson State, right?
Uh-huh.
And now he's at Colorado doing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
At this point, we know it's the coach.
That he can coach.
That he can coach.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So how long does he stay at Colorado? That's the first question. And if he does leave Colorado, what team is going to get rid of their coach? Because after this, you moving on to a power conference. So,
he's in a power conference.
I mean, not a power conference, but like
a bigger school.
A bigger school. So,
yeah, I get what you're saying, but go ahead.
What coach? What school is going to get rid of their coach to play the Deion Sanders sweepstakes?
Well. So here it is. So I think Deion is going to be there. He's definitely going to be there until his sons graduate.
Okay.
But you remember, he also has a daughter that plays basketball there as well.
Okay.
All right. So I'm thinking, because I think Shador is what, a sophomore or is a junior?
I think he's a sophomore. Where? Sam, we need him.
Yeah, we need Sam, man. We miss you, Sam. That's you, the head of our information department.
Yeah.
But I think he will be there for about, from this day, maybe give him about 3 to 4 more years, right?
Yes.
Now, there's only one place. There's only two places I want to see Deion.
Okay.
I want him at his alma mater, Florida State. But Florida State is ranked, shit, fourth in the nation right now. They're doing pretty fucking good for themselves. Okay. So it'd be pretty hard to fire a coach. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. No, right? You're, you know, exactly right.
But we are talking 3 to 4 years from now, so that
he's
might...
a junior.
Okay, he's a junior. All right, Shador is a junior. Okay, so...
he's actually eligible this year.
Yeah, he's eligible, but I wouldn't recommend... I mean, we don't know yet, but...
I think this year is going to determine if he... I think he should stay his senior year, because I feel like, because you played at Jackson them first 2 years.
Oh, don't do that.
No, I'm just being honest.
No, I don't say the reason. Okay, let me finish my
go
first
ahead,
point.
Go ahead.
So listen, yeah, I want him at Florida State, but right now, if this coach that's there at Florida State now, if he continue on doing what he's doing now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be there for the long haul. Okay. Right? The other one, I want him at. I want him at the U.
Really?
If he's in, first of all, Deion is a South Florida boy anyway.
Okay.
So if Deion, with his aura, persona, uh-huh. this character that he has,
yep.
and just the man that he is,
okay,
right? And you put that with Miami, the original swagger, you? What, man? What, man? I'm gonna tell you this. Deion would have Miami like when fucking Luke Skywalker was topping the charts, nigga. That's how he, if he was in Coral Gables, bro, he'd be killing it, bro. Like, he's killing it now. He's killing it now.
Okay, so you said until his son graduates, so we know that's another year.
So that's another year. I think, but you know, he got Shiloh. Shiloh is the son that played corner.
Right.
And then, like I said, his daughter is on the basketball team, too. So I don't know what they're, what class they're in. But, I mean, that's going to buy you 2 years for sure. But I don't think you get Deion for 3 years. I think you get. I think Deion is at Colorado for about 4 or 5 years, bro.
You think?
Like, for real, man. Unless something crazy is something. Unless something crazy in Florida opens up. Like, I feel like every school in Florida, the big name schools in Florida, like Gainesville, Tallahassee, Coral Gables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even South, even if you go to UCF, which is in Tampa, I think Tampa, UCF is in Orlando, I think. No, USF is in Orlando, I think, and UCF is in Tampa.
Yeah.
But anyway, but those big three, Florida State, Florida, and Miami, man, if one of them jobs come open, you niggas better call Deion.
You'll be the first person you need to call.
That needs to be the first nigga on your line. And what was your second question?
You answered them both.
Oh, I did?
Yep, you answered
them both. Okay, yeah, that was it. But what you think?
I think I agree with your statement about him staying until the kids graduate.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think in order for him to stay in Colorado, they gotta win. Like the good thing about it is he's not gonna have trouble recruiting.
No, man. Are you seeing what he's doing, bro?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, bro, do you even, like, let's not even talk about how the game was sold out yesterday, right? The first home.
Colorado would be retarded not to try to
keep. I'm going to tell, just look at it, bro. Cameron was at the game. Derek White, Spencer Dinwiddie was at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Wu-Tang was at the game. Michael Irvin was at the game. Terrell Owens was at the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dog. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are dudes that you won't even, you gotta wait to get to the NFL to even come across them. I'm talking about like Michael Irvin and Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
These are people that you gotta wait to get in the NFL to come across, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And he had these practices. He had the practices. He had the game. They just had on their first game. They had Warren Sapp, bro. You had arguably top five D tackles of all time at your practice, helping your D line out. He just coming through off the love for the coach. Okay.
So here's a question.
Okay.
Here's a question. How does that hurt the rest of the schools? Because he can pull those strings. These other coaches can't. So how does that bounce?
I think the other coaches can. I just think the other coaches don't have the same, they don't move in the same circle. So like, you know, like a coach might have a direct line to Brian Urlacher.
Okay.
But motherfucking Brian Urlacher ain't nobody. I mean, he was a great linebacker for sure. Definitely a Chicago great. Definitely a Chicago great. But what I'm saying is, it's like, I don't think Brian Urlacher resonates with today's.
But that's what I'm
saying.
So that's what I'm saying. So, I hate to play devil's advocate here, but does that hurt other programs trying to?
As long as the NIL is in, bro, you straight. How I look at it. As long as the NIL is around, you straight. Like, yeah, I would love to see Cameron come to my locker room, but can my check clear, please? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, it's cool. I mean, I'm making, like, they said Archie Manning, which is the Cooper Manning's son, mm-hmm. and Eli's and Peyton's nephew, he's a freshman at Texas. They said he got so much NIL money that he'll be making more money in this football season than Joe Burrow will in his NFL season this year.
That's crazy.
And Joe Burrow just signed an extension for like $272 million, bro.
That's crazy.
He got like $272 million.
That's crazy.
So long as the NIL is around, you got a damn chance.
Yeah.
You got a chance, but you
got a chance.
But the thing about
I think that helps smaller schools because now I get to go make a name for myself and make more money.
But see, the thing about Deion is, like, I know you're talking about the, you know, pulling the strings of bringing these mm-hmm. celebrities and former, you know,
because
Hall of Famers.
Because that alone, if I'm a recruit, with top five, top ten, whatever, I'm trying to get there so I can experience that.
That's fine. That's cool. But see, the thing is like Deion is literally one of us.
No, I know.
So when he comes and recruit, he don't even have to bring Michael Irvin and them around. Like, he come from the same environment that most of these people come into these neighborhoods and take these kids and take them to Nebraska, mm-hmm. and then you go to USC and all that other stuff.
Right.
But he's from this. He knows the language. See, Urban Meyer, I just watched the documentary on the Urban Meyer Gators on Netflix, and Urban Meyer came out and said it himself. He was like, yo, I'm not gangster. I don't know what that stuff means. Right. So I need somebody. He was like, I had to bridge the gap with my players. You know what I'm saying? He identified that he didn't know that.
Right.
And then he worked around it and tried to make it work for him the best. I mean, Urban Meyer is one of the greatest college coaches of all time. I mean, no matter what the fuck he did in Ohio State. I mean, I have to give him his...
No, you have to.
Yeah, facts are facts. So Deion knows what it's like for his lights to get cut off as a kid. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like.
He can identify.
So when he comes and sits in your mother's living room, this ain't unfamiliar territory to him.
No, it's not.
So, but you can feel that though.
Yeah, I mean, no. Facts. I'm not saying, well, let's put it like this. When Deion Sanders became the coach at Jackson State, right? Yeah. We all knew.
That was the perfect start, though.
That was the perfect start, but we all knew when it came to recruiting, he was going to get all of that mm-hmm. talent anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, their first choice now was to come to Jackson State.
Right.
But now that you're pulling in these greats like Irvin and the Wu-Tangs and all them.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get the other talent. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a very smart move.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's a smart move because now you're not only appealing to the people that you can appeal to, but now you're appealing to everyone. Because if you play football, you know who the legends are. You see what I'm saying? And you're going to go there just for a chance.
I ain't going to lie. I would have been mad as hell when Wu-Tang walked into my fucking locker room and I ain't see Method Man.
I mean, that's a little disappointing.
I think Raekwon was there. I would have been excited to meet Raekwon. But so let me ask you this: a coach come to your living room, and what happened?
Oh, it's on my time.
Oh no, we good. Say a coach coming to your living room,
mm-hmm.
not named Deion Sanders.
Okay.
What can he tell you to get your kid to his school? What is it that you want to hear as a parent?
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go by what I would want to hear as a parent, or do you actually want me to give you my...
I want you to give me both, but give me what you want to start with. For those who don't know, I mean, we keep putting this out there, but we got to let you know because this is... good information that Q's about to give. He's actually, like we said earlier in the episode, he's a high school basketball coach. And he's the JV coach, so he really got to do recruiting.
That's my job.
Right, yeah. That's primarily his whole job is to get these motherfuckers ready for varsity.
Right.
So, matter of fact, yeah, tell me first what you want to hear as a parent.
As a parent, I don't care about athletics. I know at this point in his life,
mm-hmm.
athletics is a very important thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But as a parent, I'm the one, because that's what he wants to hear. He wants to hear how much playing time he's going to get. He wants to know about the NIL deals. He wants to know about all of the girls and the partners and all this other stuff. That's what he wants to hear about. That's how you sell him, right? You selling me on the academics. Because and the quality of the school environment, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm the one that's got to stay grounded. Because what happens if you go up there and, God forbid, you have a career-ending knee injury? What if you go up there and you get so many concussions in between your years that you can't play football no more? What if you go up there and you know what I'm saying? Anything, you don't get drafted. You play your 3 years and you don't go to the league. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have to remain grounded. So I could care less. Are you going to protect my kid while he up there? You know what I'm saying? Or down there, right?
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah tells a story about his mom asking Bob Knight, well, Indiana's a hotbed for the Klan. How are you going to protect my son while he's down there?
And he said, if he win, he ain't got to worry about it.
He ain't
got to
worry about it. Which.
Which basically is true.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Like, he made a joke of it, but it eases the parents' mind to know, okay, at the end of the day,
you plan. Down here to do a job.
You down here to do a job, but you have a plan to protect my kid. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we all know the kids are grown and they're going to do what they're going to do. But I need to be assured as a parent that, as a coach, because as a coach, you're not only a coach, you're a mentor.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I need to, but
I mean, all the best coaches were, though.
They are. And then you got to think about this too. You know, we say, okay, they're 18, they're grown now, but we all know that when you're 18, you're not grown. So I need to make sure that when I'm sending my child down there, you know, you're going to look out for them. That's as a parent, that's what I care about. Now, once you reassure me of all of that, okay, let's get to talking about playing time and NILs and what can you do for him and the exposure that you're going to get. Now, it's different when you're recruiting on college. It's different than when you're recruiting high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
High school.
Is it different, though?
I'm going to tell you why it's drastically different.
Okay.
Because in college, if I'm coming to you in college and I'm coming to recruit you for college, that means 9 times out of 10, you're going to play. You're going to have a spot. You're going to find something for you to do, mm-hmm. whether it be on the field, on the court, on the ice, on the baseball diamond, wherever it may be,
mm-hmm.
you're coming to play. The only way you don't play is if you come in and you don't work hard enough, right?
Right.
Okay. In high school, and when I'm talking to the parents, you know, like I said, my main thing is the academics. When you're talking to the parent about high school, it's different because some of these parents now, because they're trying to get to the point of college, right? So now I also have to sell the parent not only on the school, but on the playing time, on the fact that you're good enough to bypass me at JV and go straight to varsity. You see what I'm saying? So it's a little bit more of a selling job.
Okay.
With both sides. Like, if I'm a college recruiter, I'm talking to the kid about playing time. I'm talking to you that I'm going to protect your kid while he 20,000 miles away from
me. Right.
When I'm talking to these high school parents, these middle school parents,
yeah.
I'm talking to the kid about playing time, but I'm talking to the parent about, hey, my school got an 89% graduation rate, so your kid's going to college. If your kid is not good enough to go to college, because I'm still recruiting kids that fit my system, not necessarily are the best players.
Okay.
Right? Because like a school like mine, I don't attract the top talent.
Top talent. Right.
So I have to attract the diamonds in the rough. So your kid is going to play for me. He's going to play JV, right?
He going to play.
But he going to play.
He right? might not be shit, but he going to play.
But he going to play. He going to play. I'm going to tell you exactly the plan I have for him. I'm going to lay out. I'm going to lay out, hey, if he work hard in a year, he won't be with me. Hey, 5-6 games, he's going to move up to varsity, right? I'm laying all this out for you so you can have a plan in your head. Okay, Coach Q said by 5-6 games, if he working hard enough and doing good in these games, he's going to be playing.
We
should be a change in his playing time. He should be playing 5 quarters because in high school, you can play 4-5 quarters. Whether that's 3 for JV, 2 for varsity, whatever the case may be, right? So it start off that way. So now if he not playing 5 quarters, it ain't my fault. It's your son's fault because he not working hard. You see what I'm saying? There's no change in his play. But I'm laying out all these plans. So now I'm having open runs every Sunday because now I need you to come get used to the school, get used to me. Hey, I coach AAU. He need to come play for me at AAU so he can get used to my system, so he can get used to this, da, 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 da. Like, and when you also recruiting, you don't use words of uncertainty. Yeah, so when you're doing it, you don't use words of uncertainty. Like, I don't ever say, well, if you decide, right? If I do, it's because now at this point I have a good relationship with the parent, you know, and I'm 90% sure I have this kid in the bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you use words like that, like if you decide, because then at that point you don't want to make the parent feel pressure to choose you, right? But like I always say, hey, yeah, so when you come here, this is what we're going to run. When you're here, this is the offense that we're going to do. When you're here, this is where I'm going to use you. When you're here.
Okay.
Because it gives the kid a more familiarity with you.
Wait a minute.
And
you mean to tell me you had trouble with familiarity, but it wasn't shit for you to throw out Quantify last episode? This nigga, excuse me. I apologize.
You done?
You slowed the fuck down for that word.
Familiarity.
Oh, word of the day. Word of the motherfucking day.
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So, like, it's this kid thing. And then another thing is consistency is key, right? So, for those you don't know, I also coach for a nonprofit called Brian Mikowski, and our games are on Saturdays. But middle school games are on Saturdays. So, I would do Brian Mikowski, leave there in the middle of it, go recruit, come back, right? Mm-hmm. And this kid that I've been recruiting, his name is Jameer. I was at all his games.
Okay.
Literally. Like, once I seen him, I was at all his games. So, whether he was at Loyola, at University Prep Arts and Design, where he was at Voyager, I was there. Wherever he was at,
you was there.
I was there. You know what I'm saying? So, when you talk about recruiting, and that's why I say sometimes when you have those resources like Deion does, you know, it's a little bit easier to recruit because you don't really have to do all that because you sell yourself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, for somebody like me who's at public safety, I have to sell. It's not selling. It's selling the schools to the parent. But once the parent is satisfied with the school, now you have to sell the kid, right?
Okay.
Like, you have to sell the parent to the program.
It's like you're not just sending him there to play basketball.
Yeah.
This is what he's going to be doing.
Outside of basketball.
Primarily outside of basketball.
Right? But once that happens, then you have to sell. But then you have to sell the parent, like these high school parents. Like, it's easier for college because you got a college job, so you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You have to sell these parents now on your knowledge of the game. Like, that's a
even
whole
if they don't
task
have no knowledge of the game.
Even if you don't have no knowledge.
No, even if they don't have
no knowledge, yeah, you have to sell your knowledge to them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's a couple of kids that I lost to other schools, but it wasn't because of me. It was because they didn't stay near me and they couldn't get to my school.
Are you going to take this time out to talk about those kids who left you for Cash Tech?
No. I didn't lose any kids to Cash Tech this year.
If I tell the Cash Tech story on here?
I don't care.
Oh, my God. So those who don't know, we are in the city of Detroit, right? Detroit, Michigan. Cash Tech is not only
I just want to point out, you do know
a super academic school.
Go ahead. Just go ahead. Wanted to bring the show up.
They're actually great in academics and great in sports.
They just won the state championship.
Yeah,
in basketball.
And they are a football powerhouse.
They just blew out Renaissance 47-0.
Right, they're a football powerhouse. So you want to know what's funny about this? Q kept telling me, he said, hey, I got these kids. He didn't say I got these kids. He said, I don't understand why kids go to these schools and sit on the bench and it'd be like 30 people on varsity and you really don't have no chance of playing, but you're cool with going to sit there because you can say you go to Cass Tech. So what I told Q was, yeah, but Cass Tech is totally different than saying, yo, I go to Northwestern. But
not to cut you off. Uh-huh. I understand that. I guess I don't. So go ahead and continue the story that I'll say.
So just to say you went to Cavs.
I don't get it. I want to play. I'm a competitor.
Yeah.
I want to compete.
But this is the thing I was trying to tell you, though. Like, he wants to play, right? But even if he doesn't play and he transfers and go to another school, he can damn near pick whatever school he want to go to if he says, yo, I'm transferring from Cass Tech.
Yeah, that ain't always the case, but okay.
I'm just saying, like, he can damn near go wherever because academic-wise, I don't have to worry about you because if you
getting into Cass Tech,
if you got into Cass Tech and you was there and you switching here because you
Well,
Unless you got kicked out, okay?
I was also gonna say, like, Cass is good academically, but it ain't as great as people think it is. Trust me. I know the ins and outs.
Oh my god.
I just know.
I mean,
I know a lot of kids. I need
the millions and millions of the Rock fans.
The 20,000 screaming Hulkamaniac.
His Q's Instagram name is.
Wow.
It's Lee underscore Hunter. So all those Cass Tech alumni.
I know Cass Tech alumni. I know them Trash Tech alumni. Anyway.
But go ahead.
No, listen. So, this is what I don't understand.
Okay.
As an athlete, as a competitor, the word is competitor. To means to compete, a person that competes, right? I can't compete if I'm on the bench. To me, if you're okay with sitting on the bench, that means you're okay with being second best, third best, fourth best, whatever best you are in life. To me, that makes no sense to me. I don't understand that. As someone who always wants to be the best at whatever I do, I can't settle for not being that, not being able to compete, not being able to show what I can do to compete. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I guess I'll never get it. But I mean, it's not for everybody. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
The kids I lost, they just stayed too far out. Like, they stay out here in Southfield, and, you know, I had a kid that wanted to play for me, but there was no way he was going to get me able to get to my school. But anyway, as far as the recruiting goes, yeah, that's, if I'm a parent, that's what I want to hear. If I'm a coach, that's what I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, there's different levels to it, because like I said, when you're in high school, you're selling the parents on the academics and the program, like, because I want my kid to go to college. Can you help my kid get to college? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my job to continue to train you, because I'm also a trainer. So now I have to train you. Now I have to do videos and get. I have to help you get to college. When you're in college, the national spotlight is always on you. So I don't. And then when in college, because it's a money maker, right? If you don't make it to the NBA, it ain't my fault. It's your fault. You didn't work hard enough.
I mean, shit, if you don't make it to college, it's your fault.
That's true. But the high school program you are at can also dictate. So as a new coach, right? Mm-hmm. My varsity coach has been in the game for 35 years. He's been coaching for 35, 40 years.
Your varsity coach?
The varsity coach.
Okay.
So by you coming to public safety, what a lot of people don't know, and what I sell them on, try to sell them on, is that Booth knows a plethora of college coaches. He's gotten a lot of
Booth?
Kids. Yeah.
Coach Booth?
Yeah. Okay. He's got a lot of kids to college to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you sell the parents on, because now you have an opportunity to, not only do you earn the college credits starting in the ninth grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to put you ahead when you go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a coach who coaches varsity who can get you a meeting or get you at a tryout or get you at an open run with these said college coaches.
Got it, yeah.
Because is that from high school to college, I don't want to say it's my job. It's like 80% my job. It's my job to get you in front of them, right? Mm-hmm. It's my job to make the calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's my job to make sure you have the best opportunity to get in front of a coach that coaches college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where it is your job is, like you said, to work hard, because how hard you work depends on if I'm going to make the call to the D1 coach, a D2 coach, or a D3 coach, or a JUCO coach.
Yeah, I'm not calling. That's I'm not calling Juwan Howard.
Right. I'm not calling Juwan Howard when you need to be playing at Wayne State.
Okay.
Now, if you want to play for Michigan, that's on you. But I'm not making that call. But what I am going to do is I'm going to call Wayne State and say, hey, I got this kid that's going to be great for you.
All right. So let me ask you this question right here then. Would you rather coach in the pros, or would you rather coach in college?
Are those my only two choices?
I mean, shit, what other choice? Or you want to stay at high school?
To be 100% honest with you, I would like to stay. So High school ball to me is perfect for me because of what the way I like to coach and the way I like to teach, right? I like to teach the things that you need to learn for the next level.
Yeah, but you got to be coachable too, though.
You have to be coachable,
Okay.
right? But if you bring your kid to me as a JV coach, right, the one thing you're going to know that your kid is going to learn is how to read defense, whether when he comes off that screen, if he should come tight or if he should go wide, when to use this move, or how to run an offense as a point guard, how to post up, you know what I'm saying? How to double team on defense, proper rotations, playing the gap. I'm teaching stuff that so when you get to varsity as a sophomore, you can play because varsity coaches are running stuff that college coaches should be running. You see what I'm saying? I'm not gonna baby you. So no, we're not running plays to where, okay, here's your first option, here's your second option, here's your third option.
I ain't gonna lie,
We're not doing that.
I ain't gonna lie, you got me over here like, damn, maybe I should take that assistant coaching job with you.
We're not doing that on my offense. My offense is predicated on motion. So when you make that first pass and this guy is supposed to cut to the middle, if you don't cut, then you're fucking up the offense. Why is it three people over here? Y'all need to keep moving. You're not moving enough. The only thing you can do wrong in my offense is stand still. I'm not going to tell you this is your first option, this is your second option, because it's predicated on what the defense is giving you. So that's what I'm teaching in JV. And most JV team coaches don't teach that.
What do you think most JV coaches teach?
I have
You
a
think
player.
you don't think they take it serious?
It's not that. Okay, so that's another thing. A lot of JV games and teams, they're not taken seriously. I've been blessed to coach in the last two high schools that I coach at where they put JV at, I don't want to say the forefront, but it's very important to the coaches that I coach, the varsity coaches.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If JV, like, I tell people, like, so when I got interviewed for the public safety job, I let them know off the bat, I'm not here to lose. I'm not here to be the laughing stock. I'm here to develop, but I also want to win. I understand that when my players are doing great, you're going to put them in varsity. I get that. That's my job. That is the number one thing of my job. The number two thing for me is, I'm not here to lose, right? The conference that we're in now, we have a JV championship. I want to win the JV championship. So
Damn, if
I'm
kids.
not here to be your laughing stock of the school. I'm not here for none of that.
Because
I'm here to
if you stay
compete.
consistent in winning those JV championships, then it become
It's,
you
it
help
helps
build
the
it as a
school. It helps build the program because now you have an opportunity to come play for a JV championship, right? You're going to come here. You're going to play for a JV championship. Them same people that won the JV championship are going to be in varsity next year. They're going to compete for districts. They're going to compete for regionals. They're going to compete for states, right? So at the end of the day, I think most JV coaches, and don't get me wrong, your season, the way I coach and the way the style of coaching and teaching that I have, it takes a while for the players to get it because in eighth grade in middle school, they might have one or two plays, but they're that first option, second option, third option, fourth option, right? They're giving you, okay, when this fails, you go here. When this fails, you go here. When this fails, you go here, right? I have to break all of that to teach them, no, when this fails, find something else. Think about it and find something else. When that fails, find something else. When that fails, find something else. I'm not telling you what to do. Your basketball IQ has to kick in at some point in your life, and you have to know what to do. Right? So if you can't figure it out, then you need to go back to the drawing board and work on yourself. Because there's nothing I can teach you. I can't teach you IQ.
I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Now, I can teach you how to come off the screen. I can teach you how to slip the pick. I can teach you how to defend the pick and roll. I can teach you all of that. But it's up to you to know, hey, okay, this guy's a shooter. If I go over, he gonna bust it in my face. If I go under, it gives me a better
Pause.
opportunity. Yeah, pause. Thank you. It's gonna give me a better opportunity to defend the three. You know what I'm saying? That stuff I can show you, but you have to realize it at some point that, oh, okay, he this is what he's doing. Coach Q gave me the tools. If you use a screwdriver as a hammer, that's not on me.
So basically, you're saying you rather just stay in high school.
I'd rather stay in high school.
Nah, I need to be in. I don't
Now, if I had now, that's not to say if I had didn't have the opportunity, if I had the opportunity to coach college,
Yeah.
I would love to coach college.
Yeah, I get
I
it.
would take the college coaching job. The difference, the only thing about coaching college is if I don't win, that's my job.
What, nigga, what the fuck else? That's every job.
No, high school is a little bit more lenient because they
Bro.
want, but I'm gonna tell you why. They want enrollment. High schools get paid from the state by how many kids they have in there.
No, I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So I can lose. I'm not gonna say I can lose every game, but it's a little bit more lenient.
I only want I want to be a college coach. I don't want to be nothing else. I don't want to be in the
I
pros.
don't want to be in the pros. I can't deal with
I
that.
don't
I
want
don't
to
want to
go in
deal
the
with their
pros. I want to
attitudes.
be in college because I feel like the college coaches, no matter whether you coach basketball or football, they're immortalized. Like they become like when you talk about a great when you talk about the great college coaches, whether it's football or basketball, when you talk about them, it's damn near talking it damn near sound like Greek mythology.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because so well, especially with the older coaches back in like
Yeah,
the
Bobby
'70s,
Bowden, Joe
yeah,
Paterno, Dean Smith,
John Wooden, all
John
of them,
Wooden on them, yeah.
because they were still teachers. You see what I'm saying? So in college, you're still, especially that with them freshmen, and then
Do
especially back
you
then.
consider Calipari a teacher? Well, I don't I but we ain't gonna stick too long in that. I just want you to answer the question. We ain't gonna stick on that though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
But especially when you had the Dean Smiths and the Woodens culture because they had freshmen couldn't play. Remember, it was JV and varsity in college
right.
for a long time to give you chances to adjust to the college game, right? So they were still teachers because but they could teach because the college and the NBA games were the same.
The structure
The
allowed them
str
to do that.
to allow them to do
It
that.
was mandatory, pretty basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You were still teaching them, so when they moved up to the next level, they were prepared. That's why they're immortalized because college coaches are more teachers than professional coaches.
Right.
When you get to professional level, you need to have it figured out, right?
Yeah.
Because the only thing I'm doing at training camp, and guess what I'm doing? I'm giving you this playbook with like 100 plays in it, 50 plays in it, defensive rotations, and in the case of Stan Van Gundy, because I was watching the Jermaine Nelson on when he was on Knuckleheads,
Yeah.
you know, he came prepared with scouting reports for the whole season, workout plans for the whole season. Like, this is all I'm giving you. And guess what? You either gonna do it or you're not.
Yeah.
And if you're not, I'm gonna just trade you.
All right.
So if I had to choose, I would choose college. I like high school because high school
I mean,
you
you're
get
getting them at, you're getting them in the most
natural
natural.
state.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy
And
teaching, which I do,
whatever it
it's the
is that you
best.
teach them, you will see it in that game forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
You know, I had a coach tell me when I was coaching AAU because we were successful, but we wasn't as successful as I would have liked.
Yeah.
But he told me when all these kids go back to their schools, their coaches are going to send their kids back to this program because of the way you're teaching them how to play basketball. You're not going to see it now because they were just eighth graders last year, but you're going to see it next year, the year after. They're going to know all of this because this is the what you've taught them, and this is what they're going to see. The number one offense in college basketball right now is Zoom offense. We run Zoom offense.
Well, you done brought yourself into the new millennium.
You gotta. I still. Well, the offense I still run is still a college-based offense. All those motion offenses are the same. It's just the setups are different.
Okay.
But yeah, you. So everything that I'm teaching is gonna last you the rest of your career.
Well, for those parents who are looking for a high school to send their kids to in the city of Detroit Public Safety. What are y'all?
The Eagles. Detroit Public Safety Academy Eagles. We
That's
are
crazy that
there.
y'all abbreviation is DBS.
A. DPSA.
DPSA Eagles.
Yes, and we are a charter school. We just happen to be
Okay.
in the city of Detroit. It's for all you old heads, it's the old consortium.
Oh, okay.
We are
I know what that
literally,
is. I
yeah,
know what
we
that
are
is.
literally the old consortium.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, look at
But
y'all
yeah.
niggas. That mean y'all got a real gym.
Yeah.
Y'all got a real gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. To me, it's better than UPSL. The ceiling is a little low, but it's better than UPSL. Okay. Yeah.
Anything else you want to add before we get up out of here? I know this, to y'all, this might have been, this episode was pretty much dedicated to the coaches because of Deion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was. Which,
obviously.
I know we didn't spend a lot of time on Deion because I feel like, shit, I mean, whatever we ain't say, you probably already seen this shit on TV because exactly. He's everywhere. Right. I think it was really dope for Deion to be. I thought it was dope to watch Colorado play yesterday. And then when it goes to commercial break, Deion got like 5 commercials in rotation.
I think that's dope.
I thought that was dope as fuck because it's like even when he coaching, he's still recruiting. Like that's still a recruiting tactic. That's a
No, you're exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like this year I'm inviting 2 middle schools to 2 games. Whole team, get in for free. That's a recruiting tactic. Come here. Play here.
Now this nigga, I got the hookup. This nigga Master P now. So, yeah, I mean, for those who may be listening and be like, oh, these niggas ain't talking about shit. Hey, man, I'm a father whose son just entered high school. Q is, you know, he's in his second year coaching high school basketball. And a lot of my friends and a lot of people who listen, I mean, they're around my age who have kids and stuff like that. So I thought this was a very informational episode for those who want to get their kids into high school sports and maybe what could they be looking forward to and how does a coach think? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And what to be looking for when the coach comes talk to you.
But that's very important because a lot of these parents, like you said, they're misinformed about because all they know is Cass, King, and Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not – don't get me wrong. I don't want nobody to think I'm shitting on those kids.
No, we know you're not shitting on them. And even if you was shitting on them, niggas would be like, this nigga's tripping.
But I'm not shitting on those schools because if you have the opportunity to go to those schools, play basketball, whatever the case may be, you should take it. But Cass had 500 kids enrolled this year. 9th graders. Going to Cass. Right?
Yeah.
If 200 of them are going just for basketball purposes, you only got 3 teams, freshman, JV, and varsity. 10 people on varsity.
Okay, I got a freshman team?
Yeah. 10 people on varsity, 20 on JV.
Mumford got a freshman team, too?
I don't know if Mumford got a freshman team. They might because they're in the neighborhood. The neighborhood they're in, and because there's not a lot of neighborhood schools around, they might have enough for a freshman team.
Okay.
But you got 20 on freshman, 20 on JV, and only 10 on varsity. So at some point, your high school career is going to end. If you stay at Cass. But if your goal is to play basketball and go to college, you need to start taking a look at some of these other schools because they're going to be the ones that can help you get there.
Because also, you got to have the grades, too.
You got to have – that's the number one thing. You have to have the grades. It's always easier for a coach. You can't even come to the table without
the grades.
Yeah, I can sell a JUCO kid to a D3 school.
Mm-hmm.
Because his grades are good,
before
I can sell a D1 kid to a D1 school and his grades are shitty.
Right. All right. Well, this is pretty dope, man.
There are any kids listening, I'm sorry to cut you off, but any kids listening, I want you to understand why coaches push grades so much and why we worried about grades. Grades are something that you don't want to do. Because we all know all you want to do is play basketball. So if you are working hard on something you don't want to do, it gives me faith and trust in you to work hard on something you do.
Damn, look at that. That was a dog-ass gem for you out here. A gem. A G-E-M. A gem. No, that was real shit, though, because I ain't never really had nobody explain to me, and I'm definitely going to put Braylon in place with that shit.
So I tell my players that all the time. That's what helps us trust you.
All right, well. And if you guys can tell this episode, we have new microphones.
Yes. we are getting more and more official with each
episode. Yes, so you guys keep listening to these episodes and keep clicking. I mean, maybe next time we'll get a camera up in this bitch. Q said he's got a camera.
I got a camera. I got to find. I know where it's at.
But those are, thank you all for listening. That's all.
That's it.
But anything else you want to add before you leave?
Shout out to the MKU, Most Known Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Sam. Hope everything works out. We missed you.
Get back in, man, because Q using this flip phone to look for facts.
First of all, it's a flip. It's a Galaxy Flip. I don't want everybody thinking I'm sitting up here with a freaking Motorola.
Yeah, you got it.
talking with a Nokia flip phone.
You got a singular cellular.
Singular cellular.
But man, thanks for coming on this ride with us this episode, man. And the word of the day is familiarity.
Now you can't say it.
Now you got me fucking up. Either way, y'all know what it is. But
we out.
We out, man.